This is Desiring God Behind the Blog. Jonathan Parnell, Tony Ranke, and David Mathis here to talk about what's going on here behind the scenes at Desiring God. A big happening the last few weeks was our national conference on sanctification called Act the Miracle, God's Work in Ours in the Mystery of Sanctification. Guys, any reflections now here? We're a week and a half out from the conference. What did God most impress on your minds and hearts from the conference, or what's most memorable?
Yeah, I'll jump in and share about Sally Lloyd-Jones. She was, before the conference even started, we were doing some interview stuff with her. We're going to put on the blog pretty soon, and she was just sharing about how children want to be engaged with story, and shared about her mom and how her mom was growing up in England during World War II and was, you know, part of the Blitz in England when a lot of the kids were shipped off on trains to live with other families. And just in reflecting on that, she said that her mother looked back and considered that to be one of the happiest times in her life, which is kind of strange because it was so difficult and hard and a lot of sacrifices and just a hard time. And you've asked, you know, why was that such a happy memory? And it's because her mom understood that what they went through was part of something so much bigger than that kind of on the ground experience. And that so much bigger was, of course, the fall of Nazi Germany and victory. And so I thought, you know, just hearing her say that, it really captivated me to think about how that plays out in our own lives as we look at kind of the nitty gritty day to day things that we go through and experiences and temptations and all these things are really part of a greater story, the new creation that God has invaded the world by, you know, His Son in the incarnation and in Jesus' death, and of course the resurrection has inaugurated a new creation that by the Spirit now is at work in us. And so just to think about these little things that we go through as Christians, our experience, how it's such a greater reality that's happening, that's more cosmic. Mm-hmm. And how, you know, just hearing what she was saying about her mom. And also, I should say, just that I'm not a good storyteller. And I thought about what was, I guess, most relevant when I was hearing her talk was, you know, we have the greatest story there is. And we should be able to tell good stories. And I'm awful. So I got home and, like, I'm trying to tell my kids stories. And they just go bad really fast.
You need some at-bats.
I guess. It'll come.
So I tried a few and somehow, you know, dogs were getting ran over and it just was bad.
Tony was like, you got to read some good stories.
Yeah, true. Tony is right. Yes. That's right. So anyways, so those two things, man, just how our individual Christian experience, part of the new creation, part of what God's doing in the universe for His name. And then, I guess a more practical level is, as a dad, I want to tell good stories to my kids.
Yeah, this is really the genius of Sally Lloyd-Jones and how she writes, because what she can do is she can take the Bible storyline and go from Genesis to Revelation, creation to new creation, and she can show you how Jesus fits in every story of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And then she pulls the reader in. She pulls my children into the story as we read, and they see that they fit part of this bigger picture, like you were talking about in the World War II story.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just that's the kind of worldview that she brings to storytelling, and it's really, really brilliant. One of the books that I really like to read, I'll just mention this, Peter Lighthart wrote a book called Wise Words, Family Stories That Bring Proverbs to Life. Very good collection of short stories where he sets a proverb to life within sort of a fantasy story that's really short that you can read as a family. So that was one of my highlights, you know, along with Jonathan, is meeting Sally Lloyd-Jones for the first time. And not long after that, we met with Fernando Ortega.
Yep.
Fernando Ortega led music at the conference for a couple sessions. And that was a lot of fun too. We'll have videos from our session with him that will be released on the blog. One of the highlights for me was in that interview, we asked him where he got the song "Give Me Jesus," you know, one of his classic songs, and he explained the backstory of how that's a Negro spiritual song, an old song, and how he heard that when he was in his 20s, and how he had always wanted to record that at a different pacing, and so he shared that story with us. That was a personal highlight.
That's good. Yeah.
Tony, we have an important piece that's on the website today by Trillian Newble. It's a review of a book by Rachel Held Evans. Would you give us some background on where that review came from and why it's at Desiring God?
Yeah, Trilia received an early pre-pub manuscript of the book by Rachel Held Evans. The title is A Year of Biblical Womanhood, How a Liberated Woman Found Herself Sitting on Her Roof, Covering Her Head, and calling Her Husband Master. That's quite a subtitle. But it's going to be a controversial book. Rachel Held Evans is a lightning rod for controversy on women's issues, on hermeneutics, interpretation, you name it. She's a good writer. She's a clear writer. And this seemed to be a book that Trilia wanted to take on and actually review. Trilia has actually had some personal interaction with Rachel in the past, has interviewed her on her blog, on Trilia's blog. And so there was a relational dynamic there, but also there was a conviction that after reading the book, she was deeply concerned. Trilia was deeply concerned about the devaluing of Scripture, Scripture's sufficiency, Scripture's inerrancy in this book. So it's not necessarily a review or a critique of egalitarian theology. It really goes much deeper than that to look at how a feminist hermeneutic affects the way a woman reads her Bible. And I think it's a significant review. I'm grateful for Trilia for taking the stand that she's taken, and no doubt she's going to receive criticism for it. But really respect her, and I think she's just really a thoughtful lady that we've been able to bring into the DG circles and to learn from her. She just has a really helpful perspective, and so we're really grateful for Trilia, and I'm grateful for this review that she's written.
And she's engaged the book very thoughtfully, kindly, graciously, and yet firmly.
She put all that together. Yeah, and that's the strength of it.
Mm-hmm. We did have a Preparing for Marriage ebook that we've just launched. One of the more visited posts on our site over the years has been a set of questions Pastor Piper put together for couples considering marriage. And so we packaged that together with a few of John's key sermons on marriage, have that available to help couples maybe who are dating and considering marriage, maybe others who are already engaged and moving toward marriage, and maybe even married couples would get some help from reviewing some of these questions together, asking each other questions they may never have. That's available now at the site. We do want to let you know about Authors on the Line. We mentioned that before. That'll be debuting tomorrow on the blog. Is that right,
Yeah,
Tony?
Lord willing, on Thursday we'll begin this podcast. Authors on the Line is a new podcast where essentially I call up and bother authors in their offices.
Very nice.
That's essentially what I'm doing. And trying to find some of the best authors that we can find on the best topics that we want to hear about and just asking them informed questions, putting those together as a podcast. The first podcast will be with Kyle Strobel, who is a Jonathan Edwards scholar and recently edited Charity and Its Fruits, a new edition of Edwards' work published from Crossway, and just talked with him about the book, why folks should be interested in the book, and what Edwards is trying to do in that volume.
And he's the son of Lee Strobel.
He is.
The apologist.
Yeah.
So maybe he'll have a book down in the future called The Case for Edwards.
Right? Well, yeah, he has a dissertation coming out in December, which is essentially a reinterpretation of Edwards, so it's something similar.
And several of your early Authors on the Line interviews are related to Edwards. Is that correct?
That's correct. I did. I've got 7 recorded. 5 of those are centered on Jonathan Edwards, 1 on the Trinity, and I've got a long list of folks that I have agreed to do interviews. And so it's really exciting to see the energy that it really has and the interest that it's gotten from different authors. So hopefully we'll tackle topics such as homosexuality. Coming up soon. I'm hoping to talk with a first century Greco-Roman scholar to talk about some of the cultural things that were happening in the New Testament times and how they relate to today. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see where this goes, but the first 7 are recorded and it's been a lot of fun.
Very good. Jonathan, anything you've got before we close it down?
On the topic of this of egalitarian theology, you have an article coming out pretty soon on that. I guess going back to what we began the talk with today about the new creation cosmic reality. You take the topic of complementarity and you put it inside the context of new creation. Can you say anything about that now? Or
yeah, this past summer I read a blog post. Actually, it was a blog post by Rachel Held Evans, who was essentially resurfacing an old argument that egalitarians make, and that is that in the Greco-Roman household codes, where you see a slave must submit to a master, And obviously, we don't hold to those patterns today. We don't believe that slavery is right or equitable or godly. And so we do away with that part of the household code. So then what do we do with a wife submitting to her husband? And so what egalitarians would say is that that's all part of one household code, and we should erase it, remove it. So submission is no longer on the table for a Christian woman. What I did is I wrote a survey of the book of Ephesians for the Journal of Biblical Manhood and Womanhood, and it'll be out in roughly 2 weeks. I think it just went to the typesetter, where essentially I take the paradigm of Ephesians 1, 9, and 10 and talk about the cosmic dimension of Christ's victory over evil, and then the cosmic scope of chapter 6, which is the armor of God passage. And I show how throughout the entire book of Ephesians, there's four theological pillars that run throughout the entire book that set up the passage in Ephesians 5 on marriage in such a way that you see the grand cosmic scope of God's plan when a husband is leading and loving his wife and when a wife is submitting, and what that shows us about the church and what that displays about the gospel in the cosmic dimension. So it's sort of setting forward this idea that complementarianism has a vision behind it, and is a vision that is cosmic in scope and that has everything to do with Christ's victory over evil. And complementarian marriage, this is my argument, harmonious complementarian marriage speaks forth the cosmic victory of Christ over evil. And that's the vision I try to cast in that article.
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, thank you.
And we got to run off to a meeting here in Desiring God, so we can close this down. One last thing to mention is our continued excitement about this sermon series Pastor Piper's going through on trademarks of his last 30-plus years at Bethlehem. And the one coming up this weekend we're excited about is from Philippians 1, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. He's taking up the same text this weekend that he took up in his January 1980 candidating sermon. So that'll be interesting to see 32 and a half years later, Pastor Piper preach on that same text. And the last message in the series from John was called Why Did God Create the World? It was an outstanding message. If you haven't availed yourself to that, go ahead and do so at the site. Thank you for tuning in and listening to Desiring God Behind the Blog.